Well, hello everybody. I would just like to take a minute because this is so special for me. I'm in Mexico, many of you are in Alaska, and I think one of the gifts of this program for me has been the connection to people. So I'd just like to take a moment to just, if everybody would just bring in their spirit, because I'm going to talk about spirit right now. Just kind of close your eyes and just, let your spirit show up right now. Whatever that is, I'm going to turn off my email program so it doesn't bother anybody. Let's see when it dings. Okay, and my phone. Okay. So just close your eyes and bring your spirit, just that light, that white light or whatever color light it is. And we're bringing our spirits together here. That's what this is really about. And we're bringing them here to the care of God as we understand God. So I'd like to ask, and part of being spiritual is treating yourself with kindness and compassion and acceptance. So what I'd like to ask is if everybody would at least let me see their open up their screens for a little bit so we can all just see each other. And you can close them in a minute. And if it's really uncomfortable for you, but self-acceptance, I know a lot of people don't like seeing themselves on the screen, but I want to see everybody. I want to see who I'm talking to, and you guys are on this path with me. So I'm just so grateful. I just want to start with that. I'm grateful for seeing your souls, for sharing them with me. So if you want to now, if you want to turn off, you can turn off, but just wanted to make that connection. So again, I'm from Central Oregon, Bend to be exact, and I live half the year in Guanajuato, Mexico. So half the year in the beautiful mountains in Bend, and half the year in beautiful central Mexico. So I guess I would just say that because 30 years ago, that wasn't my life. Before this program, that wasn't my life. My life wasn't about making my life work. My life was about surviving every day, surviving every day. My life wasn't about thriving, which is what I do now. It was about surviving. It was about how am I going to get through today without my what I call abusive brain chatter. I do a talk on that, is without my abusive brain chatter catching me. And the way I used to shut my abusive brain chatter up was with food. That would shut it up for until the food wore off, and then the chatter would get even louder. Look at you. You couldn't even last 2 hours. And you said you weren't going to have that, and you ended up having that, and you had a whole box of that. And then it was like, just beat me up, and the only way to quiet was to hit 7-Eleven again. So that was my life. I mean, actually, I can remember that from a very young age. My mother said, and I think part of it, I can blame my mother or not, and I don't, but the reality was my mother was depressed. She was bipolar. She attempted suicide many times, and I was the third child. So by the time I came along, she didn't have a lot of energy to parent. So she would give me a bottle. And she said, as long as I had a bottle in my mouth, I was quiet. So she would just keep trading out. Bottle empty, I'd cry, she'd give me another bottle. So I come by this disease, honestly. And it took me until, and I can go into the whole story of all the diets I've been on, but my disease is dieting and binging. That's what my disease was. I was either on a diet or I was in a binge. I couldn't quite get the balance. I didn't understand what five was on the scale of 1 to 10. Just five being in the middle. It was either one or it was 10. And what a painful existence, because it was just every Monday was the biggest pain. It was like, oh God, okay, what diet am I going to do today? And I remember crying to my girlfriend one day and saying, I don't know what diet to go on today. And so she made up a diet. She told me this years later. She said, oh, well, I heard of a really great one. And so she just made up this diet with grapefruit, two hard-boiled eggs, a hamburger patty. And I was just like, oh, thank God, I've got a new diet. And then we laugh about it later. She said, I just made that up because you were crying, you know. So that's how desperate I was. I was in a bad marriage, and he was a narcissist and an addict. You know, I have a lot of compassion for him because, you know, he was a gambler and a, you know, cocaine addict and all of that. So he had his own stuff, but I was addicted to him. And you know, and so being in a marriage, a loveless marriage, where it's not just a loveless marriage, but it was an emotionally, I was always wanting because he couldn't give to me. And so I was always wanting. So I was always hungry, right? So that was a big part of it too, is, you know, I'd get real skinny and then I'd attract him and then, you know, and then we'd get together and I would get hungry again and then I'd get fat and then I'd, you know, then we divorced and then I'd get skinny and then I'd attract him again and I'd get hungry again and then I'd get fat. Anyway, so that was my life. It was a hell on wheels. So one day he was at a Cocaine Anonymous meeting and or an AA meeting, and I was with him, you know, supporting him. And I love the meetings anyway. I resonated with it. It was like, wow, these are so cool, right? But where would you find me at an AA meeting? You know, AA, when they had the big birthday cakes, you would find me at the table, right? So there I was at the birthday cake table every time, every week I'd go. And one day his sponsor walked up to me and he said, you know, Jackie, there's a program for overeaters. And I went, really? And he said, yes. He said, I belong to it. So he gave me a list of the meetings. And the next day I showed up to the meeting and I sat in the back row. I came to the back row and just cried and cried and cried. It was like, my peeps, where have you been all my life? You mean you guys do the same thing? You guys suffer like I suffer? And what I got, unfortunately, it was such a great meeting, it was Los Angeles, really strong meetings, was a lot of recovery at that meeting. And so that's why I'm a really big, I'm really big on recovery in meetings. It's like, you know, these aren't bitch sessions, you know, take the mess to your sponsor, but take the message to the meeting. Because people were bringing the message of hope and saying, I used to do that. I used to go through the drive-thru. I don't do that anymore. I don't have to do that anymore. What a message of hope. And I just embraced the program, loved it, got into it, got sponsors, did all of that, moved down to San Diego and stopped going to meetings because I didn't like the way their meetings were run. I mean, LA said you know, you pitch when you share, but San Diego says you share, you know, and I didn't like that. I like the pitch. I like the basics. So, I mean, you know, it was all, again, that whole abusive brain chatter sabotaging me, right? So I stopped going to meetings, and what's the first thing they've learned about relapse? You stop going to meetings. People who start relapsing stop going to meetings, and they stop connecting spiritually. So I relapsed again, very bad, and found myself in my bed. My son had to go live with my mother, my older son, because I couldn't help him. He was just out of control, and I was in bed and out of control myself, so I couldn't help him. And I was laying in bed there, and I had a box of cereal that I used to eat, and I used to eat them this really weird way where I would, you know, I don't know if food's allowed here. Is food allowed here? But anyway, I would eat a box of shredded wheat, and I would bite into it, the sugared ones, and then I'd pop the other one into my mouth. And that's how I would eat the whole box laying down watching TV. And I had my asthma inhaler because I couldn't breathe. That, I mean, my chatter was so loud that day, telling me how awful I was, what a terrible mother I was, how I'm going to be fat my whole life. All of that chatter was going on, and I couldn't breathe. So I had a remote control in one hand, my asthma inhaler in another, and tucked in my arm was my box of cereal, because God forbid I should put that down, right? And it was like that was my bottom. And it was like I just said, I can't do this anymore. I can't listen to this abuse. I'm my own emotional abuser. I can't do this anymore. If I'm 42 years old, if I have to do this for another 42 years, I'm going to do what my mother wanted to do, which was check out. You know, that's what she taught me. When life gets tough, you check out. That was my fate. So that morning, I heard loud and clear, get on your knees. Get on your knees, go to a meeting, get help. And you know how we just sometimes we're just willing to hear the word, right? That morning, thank God, I heard it. And I just said, okay, I'll get to a meeting. So I got a list. I don't remember how you did it back then. It was 30 years ago. So I don't remember how I found the phone list or the meeting list. Oh, maybe I called. I think you call into Intergroup, whatever. The next meeting was in La Jolla. I lived in San Diego. It was about a 30-minute drive. I got in my car and I drove to the meeting, and there were like three people there, and they called it a share and they did whatever. And I just was humble. It's like, I want what you have. I don't care what you call it. You can tell me to do whatever. Now, coming back after having been, such a superstar in program and having lost so much weight, and was really hard because I knew what was ahead of me. I knew what working the steps meant. And so it wasn't like I was just kind of being brought into it. It was like I had to fully surrender to this program. And I knew that, and I was struggling. And I remember I just started with three big, we called them truck driver meals, right? That had to be my abstinence. The best I could do was three truck driver meals. And I called a woman who said she'd be a temporary sponsor. And she said, I said to her, here's what I'm doing. And she says, well, what's your goal? And I said, well, of course I want to eat healthy and I want to lose weight. And she says, then you have to change your app. Is three truck driver meals going to get you where you want to go? And I went, no. So it was like I had to start making adjustments. So it was like that other surrender where I surrendered more food and started realizing that I needed a sponsor. I needed to listen. I needed to take direction. And that's what I did. And I haven't left since. It's just I think I've gone maybe a couple of weeks without meetings, but and this is the first meeting, at least OA meeting, I've been to in a couple of weeks, and that's always just a little ding 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 ding. But so I have to do the footwork, as they say. So anyway, so fast forward to today. Okay, so that was it. We all know what happened. I mean, I have a sponsor now. She for a while I couldn't find the right person because I lived in Bend. There were only a few people. I had the most recovery, so I couldn't find somebody. So I ended up getting a sponsor in Portland, and that worked out fine. We connected on the phone. We'd meet in person periodically. Now I call her every Wednesday or when I'm in trouble. And that's just the way it is. And I love her. She's my, she's wonderful. And when we talk, we just get right to the heart of it, right to the heart of it. And then for me, this program. So what I want to talk about is the spiritual aspect of this program. For me, the idea that God could and would, if he were sought, was really hard. It's like, why does God care if I eat a Twinkie? Really? I mean, he's got other people, murders on the street to worry about. But then I realized I got my own definition of God, and God doesn't worry about he gave us self, in my, this is my thinking, he gave us self-will. God's here to grow my soul. My soul got shut off when I was a child because, I came in just with this beautiful, loving soul, but my mother said, no, don't do this or I'll kill myself. And my father said, don't do this or I won't talk to you. And my sister said, don't do this. So my soul learned to protect itself. And thank God it found food to protect it. And it was kept in this nice little velvet wrapper. I'm a spiritual coach and I take people on a journey to their soul. And the little and my little journey took me to my little soul. I was when I was five before I started, having to protect it. So what I believe now is that my spirit my spirit is here to help me grow my soul. I've been given back my soul when I stopped eating. And I say that, you know, what my abstinence is, has changed many times. I was a vegetarian. I ate three meals a day. I had no sugar. I did all of this. My abstinence now is eating to listen, to hear the voice of God. If I eat too much, I don't hear the voice of God because I'm chattering away going, oh, I'm so full. Oh my God, I shouldn't have eaten that, right? I'm in my own ego, right? Into myself. If I eat too little and I'm worried about my body, how I look, you know, I got to get a few pounds off. There's a wedding coming up. I'm going to start eating again. I start getting into that diet mentality. I don't hear God either. I'm getting into my own ego. And I call it my own earth suit. You know, you take off your earth suit and you're left with your soul, right? So my earth suit is none of my business anymore. I eat to hear my soul. And so, you know, and to hear my direction, my God's direction. And God's direction is always for me about nurturing my soul. It's like treating, am I, you know, today at the meeting, they talked about, oh, progress, not perfection. And I reminded, the book doesn't say progress, not perfection. It says spiritual progress, not spiritual perfection, because this is a spiritual program. And we are, the whole purpose of our program is to be able to show up in our body. So that's why God doesn't want me eating that Twinkie, because if I eat that Twinkie, I'm not going to show up for you today. I'm going to bail on you. I'm going to, you know, I'm just not going to, I'm not going to be a person. I'm not going to be a person of faith. I'm not going to treat others with compassion and acceptance. I'm not going to forgive others. I'm not going to forgive myself. That's what spiritual, living in spirituality, following God's will, living in faith, trust, and surrender. These are all parts of our spirituality. These are what I work for. I don't have to focus on my body. Oh, my body's so, you know, I went to a spa with my sisters and they won't get into bathing suits. And I'm like, how can you not get into a bathing suit? Well, at my age and, you know, my weight, I'm not getting into a bathing suit. And I'm like, wow, that's not treating yourself with kindness, compassion, and acceptance. I wanted to go in the pool. I'm going to get into a bathing suit. You know, yeah, this is the wreckage of my past. And I'm sorry if somebody sitting at the edge of the pool wearing a bikini looks at me and goes, oh, you know, this is the wreckage of my past. But am I going to start that abusive brain chatter? See, to me, that's part of my abstinence. My abstinence is quieting that abusive brain chatter. I do that by noticing, being aware that I'm chattering and I'm saying these things, believing that my higher power doesn't want this, and my higher power has a beautiful voice, so it's an ABC, and C, challenging that core belief and saying, no, you're not going to go the rest of your life not wearing a bathing suit. It's okay for you to show up as you. This is the wreckage of my past. I have stretch marks. I have loose skins. I'm 69 years old. That is spirituality to me. That's living in my truth. And when I live in my truth, one, I don't have to eat, and I don't eat, and living in my truth helps me not to eat. So it's kind of a thing. If I live in my truth, I don't want to eat, and I don't want to eat when I'm living in my truth. So I guess it's the same thing. But anyway, So with this program, step two, came to believe that a power greater than yourself could restore you to sanity. I don't know where I am on my time. Could somebody let me know when, if I have 5 minutes or if I'm out? I could go on forever. This is like, okay. Somebody, anyone? Bueller?
No? I think it probably should have been me. Let's say 5 more minutes.
5 more minutes, Cassie. Okay, great. So what do I do? So what do I do to enhance my spirituality? So a lot of times I eat balanced and healthy meals. Okay. I meditate. That has become so important. Meditation can be as simple. How many people here meditate? Okay, so you know it can be as simple as a two, great, thank you, Megan. A 2 minute breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out, or counting your breaths. It can be as simple as that, closing your eyes. I like to take, and I'll show you a real simple one that I do when I don't have a lot of time, is I just take this white ball, I take my hands, and I put my hands out, and I just imagine just the energy of God, of the spirit, just this energy, and I imagine it as white light for me, and I put it on top of my head, and I allow my head to open up, and I just let it ooze all the way down, and let gravity take it down to the bottom, and I just stay with it. I don't let my mind wander, and if it does, I just bring it back to where it's oozing. And by the time it gets down to my feet, I am just very centered. So it's a simple meditation, takes 2 minutes. So that's a real important thing, and that's also one of our 12 steps. The other is I sponsor, right? Because my job is to give it a, my job. The only reason I got this gift, the only reason God would relieve me of my compulsive overeating is so that I would go out and help other people. Because that is my daily message. When we read in our big book, I had shared this before, and I'm going fast, I know, because I've got just a couple of seconds. But here's a way, I think I shared this with the meeting, Cassie. If you've got a big book, so you start on page, right? We start on page 84, which is, or 86, isn't it? Yes, we start on page 86, don't we? So write down 86. And we start on awakening. Let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use, right? So we start with that. Then we turn to page 25, and 25 tells us there, I put 25 in the margin of 86, and then I 25, we've got that the, is it 25? Yes, we've got there is a solution. And we read that paragraph, right? And we read down to that we have the great fact is just this and nothing less, that we have had a deep, effective spiritual experience. So I read those paragraphs. Then from there, I go to page 66, I think it is. Did I miss one? I may have not written down what I go to there. To six. No. Well, okay. Sorry, I don't have it in this big book. But anyway, then I think I do the third step prayer, which is on page 74, something like that. And then I do. No, let's see. Where is it? Yeah. You know what? I'll email it to somebody and they can pass it around because it's not in this book. But anyway, yeah, then I go to this third step prayer. Then I do the seventh step prayer. And then I read on page 77. But this is not an end in and of itself. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. That's on page 77. And then I go to page 89. Now, 89 talks about what? Working with others, okay? So that is my real purpose. That is the why, the could and would of why we're all in this program. So it is to sponsor, it is to help each other, it is to be the voice, the compassion of what spirituality is. Treating others with kindness, making time for our daily practices, staying in a peaceful and centered place, opening up and expanding a higher consciousness. This is why I don't eat. And this is why I lean on my higher power to help me not eat, because these are my marching orders. And as long as I am in fit spiritual condition, and as long as I'm not overeating or undereating, I'm gonna be doing that. So that is that's me. That's how I work my program. My abstinence, I told you, is just very healthy eating. And my abstinence is no beating up on myself. No beating up on myself. If I'm beating up on myself, I'm not abstinent for that day, because then I'm not living in God's world. Okay, that's it.